Catholic Vitamins, Extra, Extra Edition, titled Music and Modesty. And this is episode 178.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith. Forget what lies behind and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hi, Dee. It's Wednesday. What are you doing here?
I mean, you've got me all mixed up.
This is a Catholic Vitamin
Midweek Extra.
Extra. I called it on the title Catholic Vitamin X4 because it's our fourth extra that since we started naming these this way. And as Dee said at the opening, we're going to talk a little bit about music and we're going to talk a little bit about modesty and adultery. Oy vey, what a show. What a mix. Well, dear, why are we doing this show?
I don't know. Why are we?
Well, Dee, it's part of the plan we talked about. I did a homily over the weekend that got quite a bit, a significant amount of feedback.
Yes, you did. And you know what?
What?
I haven't even heard it yet.
Oh, Dee. Well, you'll get a chance if you listen to the show.
I went to Saturday evening Mass down at the end of our women's conference, and then I didn't go to Mass up here on Sunday morning.
Right, right. Well, I preached at the three English Masses and as we say, had some noticeable amount of feedback on this homily, so we'll bring that to our listeners.
So you're playing that this episode?
I am going to include this after we talk with and spend some time with Kate Daneluk from Making Music,
yes.
Praying Twice. And we'll get into what that is in a little bit when we talk with Kate. Right now, it's time for vitamin P, a miniature vitamin P prattle. We had our book club, DVD club group meeting on Monday evening. We had a pretty good turnout. We had pizza and salad.
Everybody but one couple was there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good group. Actually, we had some extras because remember one couple brought three of their grandchildren.
Yeah, right, right. And we had another episode in the footsteps of God with
David and Solomon. No, David and, what was it?
I don't remember.
Well, it was mostly about David.
Yeah. Saul.
Yes, yes.
David and Saul, yes. Right, right. Okay.
Very good. Very
it really,
good.
Really was, because in this video, he takes you to the places, I'm trying to think of the speaker. And I'm
Steve Ray.
He takes you to the places that they're talking about. You get to see the scenery,
it makes it more real to you.
The ruins, and sometimes the buildings that still remain. So it's really fascinating. We had a good get together and good
food as always.
Yeah.
I
did the Bible study on Tuesday.
On Tuesday afternoon, yeah. I hiked on Tuesday morning, as I usually do.
Right, but you were there home in time to join us for the Bible study. Thank you.
Just barely.
For participating.
And what else did we do?
Well, we can't go too long.
We had mom's group on Monday morning, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you and a couple of the ladies were kind enough to invite me to come and sort of, chaplain would be a little bit strong, but to be a voice of sharing some thoughts. And I've been talking with them about the nature and dignity of womanhood.
Actually, we've been letting you come in about every time we meet now for about 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, and then I get the high sign.
Then we boot you out. Well, and then the real sharing starts.
Well, would you say it was a good meeting that you had?
It was a very good meeting. Yes, yes.
Well, you know, we build parish community when we get together outside of liturgy and get to know each other better and get to share. And that's what Catholic Men's Fellowship was about, that we were talking with Bob Derilio two shows ago.
I just wish we could spawn more of these little community groups, church groups in homes with some other people, get some other people to get going on it. Because they're really, really powerful. Very rewarding.
They can be once you break through sort of the beginning, stereotypical get-togethers, hi, how you doing, mm-hmm. whatever. But when you begin to
you
share.
You start to bond and you start to share and you yeah. start to trust. And
What did you say? The mom's group has a policy. It's the Las Vegas policy.
I told them we were invoking the Las Vegas rule. Whatever is spoken in there stays in there.
All right. Good for you. Good for you. All right. Well, that is the beginning of a Catholic Vitamin X4, music and modesty, and we'll be back. Well, on this special edition of Catholic Vitamins, we're on the phone with a special new friend, Kate Daniluk. Hi, Kate.
Hello, how are you?
I'm blessed, really, really blessed. It's good to be in contact with you in person. We've done a little work together over at Catholic Mom, and mm-hmm. I know your name for a long time, and I've wanted to be in touch with you, so this was coincidentally beneficial. Why don't you let our listeners, who probably or may not know your name, find out about who Kate Daniluk is?
Well, at this point in my life, I'm a wife. I'm a mother of five, and I have three little ones in heaven. And I am the co-developer of Making Music Praying Twice. And we are running programs around the country now for Making Music Praying Twice.
So what is that effort, that ministry?
Well, basically, we are providing training and materials and support so that Catholic parishes around the country can run early childhood music and movement programs. So this is a common phenomenon in different communities. There's music education programs where parents come with their very little children, and we're talking children as young as just a few weeks old until about the age of five, and they come with their parents and have these music-making classes, and then also bring home CDs and books and things to help them bring that music home. And it really does help a young child's growth in music aptitude and actually can improve their music aptitude from year to year. But we're doing it as Catholic education. So integrated into the music are hymns and prayers and Gregorian chants and African American spirituals and some of the things that you won't find in the secular programs, which is really how we want music for our children to be. We want the faith integrated into their music experiences and music integrated into their faith experiences.
Do the parents have to have musical education or great ability?
Well, the parents don't. In the parish program, the teachers are trained. We have a weekend training workshop for them, and they usually come to knowledge of music, some more and some less, but they're strong, you know, strong singers, and they love little children, and they love to dance and move around. And the teacher's job is to lead the parents so that even someone who feels like they can't even carry a tune can do more for their child than they would have been able to do without our help. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. We've seen little ones who are singing in tune by the age of 3 or 4 years old, which is a very common goal in early childhood music programs. And mom is still not quite singing in tune yet, but actually the parents will improve too because we're sort of remediating where their music development broke down when the parents have trouble. So we have parents who come with music degrees, and we have parents who come not even being able to keep a beat or carry a tune, and they all are able to get something out of it for their children.
We're not going to play it during the interview with you, so we don't take time from your busy schedule, but I did download a free piece of music,
Standing in the Need of Grace?
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Well, right now, it's just for Lent, and right now on our website, we have a special little page. It's on our website, makingmusicprayingtwice.com. There's a spot where you can get a free download of this song that we use during Lent in our existing curriculum. And it's an African-American spiritual, Standing in the Need of Grace. And the basic concept of the song is instead of looking at others' faults, this is a time to look at ourselves and see what we need to improve on. And it's a very hard concept for grown-ups as well as for little ones. And it's also giving us a great sense of the call and response and the feel of the backbeat. You know, it has a lot of great music education elements to it as well, but it also is a really spiritually edifying piece for Lent. And right now, anybody can download that on our website as a free little Lenten gift.
Okay. Now, I became familiar, Kate, with your organization some time ago, but didn't have contact until recently, and I found out that you've got a special project underway. Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
Yes. Well, we have a big project going on because we actually, for this parish program, which has been going for about 5 years, we're revamping that and taking everything we've learned from these last 5 years to make the program stronger, to make it better, and most importantly, to make it more affordable so more parishes and more families are able to participate so that our materials are not quite as expensive for them. It'll actually almost cut the materials costs in half in the new format and the way we're going to be disseminating the materials. Part of this is we're going from a 100-song one-year curriculum to a almost 300-song three-year curriculum that's sensitive not only to the liturgical seasons like Advent and Lent and Ordinary Time, but also to the A, B, and C cycles of the lectionary. So it'll be focusing, for instance, on the Gospel of Matthew for cycle A. We even have a little girl holding up a lion shaped like an A to symbolize that it's for Matthew. And we're really hoping that it will deepen the experience that parents are having with the church. A lot of parents and grandparents are saying that they've never been so aware of the seasons of the church until they did the Making Music Praying Twice classes. Mm-hmm. And suddenly they realized, oh, we're listening to the purple CD. It must be Lent, you know, and they were very aware of that. And realizing what color the priest was wearing and all of that came together for them for the first time in their lives. So we hope by taking that to the next level, with the lectionary, it will help them to see more deeply what's going on with the cycles of the lectionary and the focus on the different gospels that come through there. This is a big project. It's going to mean developing 18 new CDs and 18 children's songbooks. And we are looking to, through Kickstarter, which is a crowdsourcing format, we're looking to get some funding and help to at least fund one of the CDs. And now we're actually taking it up a notch. We're going to try to fund a CD and the coordinating songbook because we've had a really good response from it. But we only have a little over a week left at this point. So basically on Kickstarter, you can hear the whole story and hear the whole project, but we're giving rewards of the new Christmas album that will be coming out next year because we think a lot of people can enjoy and benefit from that. And give it away as a Christmas present as well. So if you pledge and help us out with that, you actually end up getting the products at a really good rate. You actually get them for 30 to 50% less than what you would pay retail if you were to buy them. But by helping us out by doing that up front, we're able to actually create the materials. So everybody wins a little bit on Kickstarter.
So how do people go to this place to get more information and perhaps?
Well, they can find links on our website. We have prominent links on makingmusicprayingtwice.com. If they want to like us on Facebook, we're constantly sending people over there. Or they can go to Kickstarter's website, which is kickstarter.com, and simply look for us. Look for, in their search engine. It's a very long URL, so I won't give you the whole URL to get to it. But it's a lot easier to go to Kickstarter.com and then just search for Making Music Praying Twice or even search for Christmas music or kids' Christmas album, and it will come right up.
Wonderful. Gosh, what a wonderful thing. So, you know, it's hard to know who our audience can be in for any one show, but if you are a parish DRE and hearing this, if you are a parent who's interested in music education for your children, if you are someone who's an RCIA teacher, where there might be parents that have young children. I think there's a lot of ways to get this message out into a parish. Any other suggestions, Kate?
Yes. Any of these people could be a part of our program. We actually have a program that parents can use in the home with their own children if they don't have a parish program available to them or they can't attend one. But any of DREs, pastors, music ministers, all of these are people who started programs. Sometimes it's, a talented parent. A lot of times it's a music minister or choir director or an elementary school teacher or a music teacher who end up teaching the classes. But you can find out on our website about all these different tracks. We have a place to look if you're coming from a parish, a place to look if you're coming from a family. But anybody can enjoy the benefits, I think, of the Kickstarter, too, because who doesn't love a nice Christmas album that's really about the real meaning of Christmas, not just a lot of the trappings. And there's fun stuff on there, too.
So our guest for this short episode of Catholic Vitamins has been Kate Daniluk from the website makingmusicprayingtwice.com. Mm-hmm. Kate, I hope we get a chance to come back and visit with you another time where we get a little bit of your faith journey and about your family and all this, but we're glad to do this today.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful. I can't wait to talk to you again.
God bless.
God bless you.
Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. It's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. Not the lawyer, not the teacher, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. Not the doctor, not the preacher, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace.
Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace.
It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of grace.
Oh, that was neat. I think I sang that as a kid.
You mean in your Methodist church? You
used yes.
To, really?
Well, yes, it's very familiar.
It's applicable to all Christian, well, it's applicable to everybody in the world, quite frankly. We're all in need of grace. Mm-hmm. So what a great song for Lent, and it's free on the Making Music, singing twice.
Oh, and that child solo was pretty.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a daughter. She's got a great voice, a great future. I want to be her agent. Dear, we've just finished dinner. I took the dog out. And before dinner...
In the trash can out.
Yeah. Before dinner, you were at Senegal.
I did. Every Wednesday afternoon, we have a Marian Senegal hour at our church from 3 until 4. And I didn't join into this right away when we first moved here. I think it was a year or two went by before I ventured in to see what that was all about. And boy, did I quickly like the fact of having that prayer and quiet hour every week.
Mm-hmm.
Really. We're a little disappointed, though, because we're not getting enough people to come in. I mean, sometimes there's only 3 of us. Sometimes there's 4 or 5 of us. Today we had 6.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the norm.
How would you, I know I'm putting you on the spot because I didn't ask you this beforehand, but how would you compare this to adoration?
Similar. Similar.
You're doing
it. We're doing it. We're doing it with a book. We're doing, prayers that were set up this way for this Marian Senegal. And but then we finish these prayers, and then we just sit and have like 20, 25 minutes of quiet time.
Mm-hmm. Well, good, good. I'm glad that you are there, and I'm glad that it's benefiting you. And as with me, when I come home from adoration, it just seems when you come home from Senegal that things are peaceful for a while.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're nearing the end of Catholic Vitamin X4 for Music and Modesty, and the way we're going to end it is I'm going to include here in just a few moments the homily that we did from March the 17th, the fifth Sunday in Lent. And you'll remember that the gospel was about the woman caught in adultery. So that's kind of the lead-in to my homily, or the idea behind the homily. But, dear, are you ready?
Since I said earlier I hadn't heard it yet?
Yes, yes.
I will listen to it once we post this.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening into this sort of insert in our regular programming schedule. And we'll be back, God willing, this weekend with Catholic Vitamin H.
Yes.
All right.
We haven't had any. Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah,
we
right
had
away.
We had a guess.
Right away, yeah.
A correct one.
All right. We're not going to say anything.
No, we're not going to say who or what.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see you on the next show, God willing. God bless.
Bye.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. It would be a lot of fun to tell you some Pat and Mike jokes. However, none of them are appropriate for church. But I came to mind this morning in morning prayer before coming over here, the most beautiful prayer written by St. Patrick. It's a hymn and prayer. It's written in the year 433 AD. And once I start the words, I know words of it will be familiar to you. Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. It's much, much longer than that. And if you have a computer, maybe today you'd be willing to Google the breastplate of St. Patrick prayer, or maybe you have it in an old book at home. It's a beautiful prayer, and it's very powerful. For today, Isaiah promises something new, but in the reading, we were reminded, looking back, of all of God's involvement through salvation history, helping the Jews to escape from Egypt, providing them manna in the desert, water from the rock, leading them to the promised land. But then there is the prophecy and the foretelling that there is something much greater to come. And what is to come is a new spiritual feeding of God's people, the foretelling of the Eucharist, the foretelling of a new promised land. And that leads us to today, when we look back, understanding Scripture as a preparation for us, Scripture history, as a preparation for us for the sacraments of the Church. For us, the Church is the font of living water, the font of forgiveness and reconciliation. The Church is the source, by the actions of Jesus through the priest, the Church is the source of the manna that feeds us on our journey to the promised land. But just as the Jews had a history of failure, false gods, sin gets in our way as well. And I'd like to speak about two aspects of sin, reflecting on our gospel for today. For about 8 years, I've had a website, one of a couple websites, and the one that I'm talking about is DeaconTomOnline.com. And on that site, I've maintained a little capability called Ask the Deacon, and people can, from all over the world, can ask questions of a deacon. And I've fielded all sorts of questions about marriage and annulment and the sacraments and about becoming a deacon, which is a great joy. But I'd like to read to you an email that I received 3 days ago, well, 4 days now. Let me read from this text. Deacon Tom, I have two questions. About 19 years ago, I met a man and started dating him. I was single, had never been married. It turned out that he was married, but I did not find out about that until about 6 months into our relationship. By that time that I found out, he had already moved in with me, and we were living together permanently. He had 3 boys and had told me that he was divorced, but as I said, I found out he was still married. But I did not leave him because by this time I was in love with him and I was tied to him financially as well. He and his wife, first wife, did get a divorce and he did marry me and we loved each other very much and worked through our problems, including a short 5-month time when he cheated on me but did not move out or leave me. We raised his 3 boys, whom I love as if they were my own, as well as our son, who is 17. So have I committed adultery? And if so, for me to repent, does that mean that I must renounce my marriage and family? And my second question, Deacon, is this. Over a year ago, he committed suicide, and I'm now a widow. Is this my punishment for my transgression? Name withheld. I cannot go into all of my answer to her, but I'd like to share the closing portion of my reply to this woman. I'm assuming you are a Catholic since you approached me as a Catholic deacon. I would call your pastor and ask to see him for a 60-minute meeting with him, summarize your life experiences, and then I would ask him to hear your confession. Blessed John Paul II went to confession weekly. Many of us go monthly. It's a good practice for anyone trying to seek God's healing and graces in their life. Finally, while sin is definitely a serious factor in a lot of what happens in the world, God is not a tyrant who acts in anger for each of our failings. That suicide isn't an act of God. God is love. Suicide is a defect in the thinking or the mental state of the person that does it. I hope this is a start to your healing and perhaps your return to the church. Society, television, the movies, they would suggest to us that this story is typical. It's the norm. We shouldn't judge. But truth is, there was so much sin involved in that woman's email and life. Sexual relations outside of marriage, living together without benefit of sacramental marriage, cheating and lying. Do you see how a broken society and the world where it lives is outside of the teachings of the commandments, the teachings of the Catholic Church. And the norms of society are degrading and becoming more and more coarse with each passing day. Do any of you watch that stuff on television like the Bachelorette program? Let me share a beautiful experience to offset the rather sad story in that email. It happened here in this parish. It was about 3 years ago. I was a deacon at the Mass and went to serve the Eucharist as I normally do. One of our young women, a beautiful young woman of perhaps 20-something, came forward. She was very appropriately dressed for being in Mass. And to tell you the truth, as she walked a few steps to be right in front of me, I hadn't noticed that there was a little bit of a scoop neckline on the blouse or dress that she was wearing. What I'd like to share with you is what the woman did. She put her hand across her front like this and then bowed reverently before receiving the Eucharist. It was so noticeable, so beautiful. She recognized that a woman is responsible. Hear me, women. A woman has a role in protecting her modesty and the potential for sin in those who look at her. If she bent forward in front of me, it could be that my eyes would have been inadvertently drawn to something that I shouldn't see at any time, but certainly in church. I wonder if you know that by the year 2004, 9 years ago, the revenues from pornography exceeded the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC TV together. Today, pornographic revenue in the United States is larger than the combined revenues of all professional football and basketball franchises combined. And when engaged in over a period of time, sexual addiction involves an enhanced need for the mood-altering neurochemicals, which target the same pathways in the brain that alcohol and other addictions do. More sadly, these behaviors, and probably violent video games, reduce others to objects to be used, to be seen. Some of our dear ladies here sometimes forget this sort of modesty message that I'm sharing today. In recent weeks, I've talked with the parish moms group here that is formed, and I talked to them about a group called Endow. The word Endow stands for educating on the nature and dignity of women. It started with just two women in the Archdiocese of Denver, and it has now spread throughout the world. It is a program which engages the intellect of women and teenage girls to help them understand their God-given dignity. It helps women and girls respond to our culture's desperate need for authentic feminine presence to transform every aspect of our society. Endow attracts women from all walks of life and educational levels, and it helps all ages of women to understand the dignity and their call to be holy and faithful wives, mothers, daughters, career women, or even women of professed religious life. Our gospel today shared that Jesus showed love and mercy to the woman caught in adultery, but he educated her, "Don't do this any further." Men, love women as Christ loves the church. Each of us are called to modesty, and women especially. You are called to remember your role to help play a chaste message, to portray a chaste message for us men who can be weakened by what we see. Lenten blessings, purity. What would Mary do?
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.